Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. This show is sponsored by a company that I'm personally really excited about, NatureBox. NatureBox ships delicious snacks that you can feel good about right to your door. When that mid-afternoon craving hits and you want something sweet, crunchy, or savory, snack on smarter, delicious snacks that include lots of nuts, seeds, and whole fruits and vegetables. Support the Clever Cookster podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/QDT. You heard that correctly. You can get absolutely free snacks at naturebox.com/QDT. Our guest today on The Clever Cookster is David Zabak. He runs Z Food Farm, a small certified organic farm located in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, that grows varieties of vegetables and flowers for markets and research. Today, Dave's here to talk about winter squash. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I love winter squash. It's such a powerful visual indicator of autumn, but too often they end up just being centerpieces and people forget that they're actually food that we eat. So I'm hoping that today you can tell us a little bit about how we should be using them at home.
I'd be happy to do that. But also, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them being centerpieces because they store really well. So they can be centerpieces for a long time before you get to enjoy their deliciousness.
That's true. I didn't mean to badmouth the tablescape. It's actually a totally valid use of winter squash also. So I hear that you're growing 21 different varieties of squash this year. Is that right?
That is correct. Yep.
Do you want to go down the list or do you want to just tell us about some of your favorites?
Sure. I'll tell you some of my favorites. So we do grow the normal, you know, quote unquote, normal varieties like the acorn and the butternut and the spaghetti. And they're all legit winter squash and we love them too. But then we also grow some really fun heirloom varieties. So we grow a couple different French varieties. One is commonly referred to as the fairy tale pumpkin, but the real name is Muscat de Provence. And another is an Italian one called Marina di Chioggia. And so those are your like true centerpiece winter squash varieties that can store for a really long time. And then when you do actually cook them are just amazingly delicious. So the Marina di Chioggia in particular makes great soups and purees. And then the Muscat de Provence, actually, I work with some chefs in Princeton at Elements Restaurant, and they actually like to serve it even in a raw winter squash salad, which sounds a little crazy to the average person, but they thinly shave it. And the flavor is just so good that you can actually eat it raw. And then we also grow sugar and pie pumpkins. We grow delicata squash, which are the oblong ones that are striped yellow and green. And then you can make really cool boats and stuff the boats with anything that you would like.
That's great. I feel like we eat a lot of summer squashes raw, like the zucchini noodles that everyone is so fond of, but it's never occurred to me to use winter squash in that way.
Yeah. And so not only that, but for a special farm grilling dinner we're doing tomorrow with the same restaurant, Elements Restaurant, they're actually making a raw winter squash salad with underripe winter squash that we grew. So I didn't even know that you could do that until I talked with them. So you might not find those in the market. So you really have to know your farmer and it sort of specifically request that kind of thing. But we can pick immature winter squash even, and then you can do like a really cool raw winter squash salad as well.
That's great. Let's talk a little bit actually about asking your farmer. I know that you do a lot of sales at a farmer's market in New York. And what are the kinds of questions that people should be asking at the farmer's market when they're trying to figure out what to buy?
Absolutely. So just one quick thing. We actually don't do a lot of sales at farmers markets in New York. We're actually just located at the Andaz Wall Street Market in downtown New York. So people can find us in New York on Thursdays from 11 till 6. And anyway, that being said, the questions that people ask are pretty straightforward, like, you know, how do I cook this squash? And the advice that we give them is, if you want your squash to taste like squash, you want to keep your preparations pretty simple. Like, so you can totally jazz it up and add all sorts of spices. So if you want to have something that tastes like pumpkin pie, you can throw in your nutmegs and your cinnamons and whatnot. But if you really want to have a great winter squash experience, you can just totally keep it simple. You can roast it in the oven, little oil, little salt and pepper. And then you, from that point, you can just eat it like that as a side dish. You can puree it. You can turn it into soups and all sorts of fun things. So I was actually just talking with Victor a little bit, who's the chef here at Andaz Wall Street, and he likes doing a slow roast of the winter squash. And then he even uses canola oil, the standard oil, obviously, that everyone loves to use and talk about is extra virgin olive oil. But then with the canola oil, it's like it's really clean and simple and doesn't impart a flavor. And so he'll slow roast it at a low temperature for a longer time at, say, 300 degrees. And then that way the oil won't burn, it won't smoke. And then really it leaves the flavor of the squash to shine. And then like super simple salt, pepper. So that's how we encourage people to cook the most is if you really want the flavor of what you're buying at the farmer's market, whether it be squash or anything else that we're growing, simple preparations are the best.
And I think that's really good advice for all sorts of produce all year round.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about storage a bit. So you mentioned that squash does last for a long time. What's the best way to store it? What's the best temperature? Where should it be in my house? What's the best way to really make the most out of that naturally occurring storage capability?
Sure. Yeah. So not all squashes are created equal as far as storage. So like an acorn squash and a delicata squash, they don't store as long. So when you buy those, you'll want to eat those on the sooner side. They'll store for like 1 to 2 months. But then as far as longer term storage for, say, your kabocha squashes, your butternuts, the heirloom varieties that I mentioned earlier. So ideally, you know, if you read the literature, it says you want to store around 55 degrees, which is not as cold as your refrigerator would be. And in fact, storing in your refrigerator will deteriorate the quality. But so room temperature also is warmer than that. So I would just say you want to store it in the coolest part of your house. So, you know, you don't want to store it on your radiator, even if it makes your radiator look really beautiful.
Fair enough. So even if you are living in an apartment in New York, as I am, and don't have a root cellar, finding something that's kind of dark, a little bit cooler, that kind of area is best.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell us how you got into the farming business on the East Coast. I know that you are coming from Iowa, which is sort of where you think of farmers being. So tell us what that transition was like and what made you decide to work here.
Yeah. So that often comes up that people find it hilarious that I moved to New Jersey to become a farmer coming from Iowa. But really, it was pretty straightforward. When I was in college, my parents moved to New Jersey. And it was in college when I started getting interested in food and where food came from. And then just that passion for food and where food came from just led me naturally to want to volunteer at a farm just to experience how food is grown. And then from there, I knew I wanted to intern at a farm. And so at that point, I started looking. There's farms all across the country that offer internships at the farm, and I really wanted to stay close to family. And so since my parents had moved out to New Jersey, it seemed natural to look for farms out here on the East Coast. And I didn't even actually start looking. I was looking more in Pennsylvania than New Jersey, because even though it's the Garden State, us Midwesterners seem to have a negative perception of what New Jersey really is. But then sure enough, in the exact town that my parents were living in, there was a farm that I found online, and I met with the farmer on spring break of my senior year in college, and we really clicked, and it was a pretty no-brainer decision to come out here. But yeah, really, really the passion for food and just making family a priority, because really the thing about food that's awesome is that it's been such a deeply ingrained part of our culture and like rooted around family. And so I was an anthropology major in college, so I wasn't even studying agriculture. But so every culture, every society has such deeply rooted traditions around food. And so as I was getting interested in food and really missing my family, it was just like a natural intersection to want to, you know, start down this path of growing food while also being close to my family. So that brought me out to the East Coast. And it's been really awesome because my parents helped me at markets. My dad's at the farm, you know, just about 7 days a week. And my mom, you know, really does like a lot of the organization. So it's actually brought us so much closer together. And it's really cool because while it's the business that's bringing us closer together, food has that power too in society to bring everybody. Like we have all of our traditions, especially this time of year with Thanksgiving coming up, with the winter squash. You know, it's a really powerful force in our lives to eat food together.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to end it there because that was really beautiful. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
While we're talking about all of this healthy whole food, let's be realistic. You're probably turning to a box or a bag at some point during the day for a tasty pick-me-up. But snacks don't have to be bad for you, and it turns out they don't have to cost anything either. Clever Cookster listeners can try NatureBox for free with a sampler box featuring five of their most popular snacks, like some of my favorites, coconut cashews and cinnamon swirl kettle kernels. To start your free trial, go to naturebox.com/QDT. You can get absolutely free snacks delivered to your door right now. That's naturebox.com/QDT.
Join us next time on The Clever Cookster for more windows into the kitchens of the world's best cooks.